Blog Talk Radio.
Trade Center, and that's all we know.
Today, we've had a national tragedy. American Airlines Flight 11 departed Boston for Los Angeles. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center.
World Trade Center has been one of their missions.
And then we heard a big bang, and then we saw smoke coming out, and everybody started running out, and we saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere, people were jumping out the window.
And now, if you join me in a moment of silence. Thank you very much. May God bless the victims, their families, and America.
Violence has spread worldwide and their families on the street.
People are running, their hair on fire. People are jumping out of the World Trade Center. Jumping out. They don't know what to do.
But all we do is eliminate our future. Things we do today. Money is our invention now, though.
It's been reported that my brother John was the captain of American Airlines Flight 11, which was hijacked out of Logan Airport. I keep looking at the cornfield behind me, hoping that my brother comes walking on out.
People were on those planes that just began their lives like children.
My children are like 5 and 8 years old. I think Mommy's still at work. If anyone sees him, then please call us. Please look at the picture and call me. Thank you.
Walk blindly to the light and reach out for his hand. Don't ask any questions and don't try to understand. Open up your mind and then open up your heart. And you see that you and me are
y'all know that I love you very, very much.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. The C. Robert Jones Situation Report for Friday. Wow, this week has gone by so fast. Friday, September 23rd, 2011 AD. Back home in beautiful Washington, D.C. Actually, Old Town Alexandria, right across the pond, right across the Potomac. United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. My main man, a man whom I have come to admire over the last 5-10 years. Benjamin, affectionately known as BB Netanyahu, spoke today in front of the UN. And my man put on quite a show. Did he use a teleprompter? No. Did he use handwritten notes? No. The answer is still no. He stood and he spoke. He spoke like a man who knew what he wanted to say. And he just said it. Not like some other officials who simply can't remember their own names, or who stand in the line full of other diplomats and heads of state and waves while everyone else is standing, smiling. But Benjamin's responding to Abbas's fiery anti-Israel rhetoric. Threw down a really great speech. And I'll tell you what, I got some background noise here. It is just weird. I may have to start using this board. I got some background noise. It's pretty cool. But anyway, here. All right, now it's all gone and we're back on business here. I'll tell you what. My man BB laid it down. He put it down for me, and I'm going to let you hear a little bit of what he had to say. And you talk about presidential. I almost wish that Benjamin Netanyahu were the president of the United States of America. Talk about statesmanship. Talk about being presidential. Talking about being a real head of state without the aid of a teleprompter where you're moving your head back and forth, head slightly tilted upward, as if you smell something awful and you're trying to get away from it. Take a listen to my man, BB. He's going to lay it down for us. For those of you in my listening audience who have not listened to Benjamin put it out there before. Now, remember, when Ben speaks, he's not using a teleprompter. I don't even see him looking down at any notes. So check it out. Tell me what you think. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number is 334, the calling number is 347-884-8500.
Of the state of Israel. I have great pleasure in welcoming His Excellency Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of the State of Israel.
Thank you. Thank you.
I invite him to address the General Assembly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel has extended its hand in peace from the moment it was established 63 years ago. On behalf of Israel and the Jewish people, I extend that hand again today. I extend it to the people of Egypt and Jordan with renewed friendship for neighbors with whom we have made peace. I extend it to the people of Turkey with respect and goodwill. I extend it to the people of Libya and Tunisia, with admiration for those trying to build a democratic future. I extend it to the other peoples of North Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, with whom we want to forge a new beginning. I extend it to the people of Syria, Lebanon, and Iran, with all at the courage of those fighting brutal repression. But most especially, I extend my hands to the Palestinian people, with whom we seek a just and lasting peace. Ladies and gentlemen, in Israel, our hope for peace never wanes. Our scientists, doctors, innovators apply their genius to improve the world of tomorrow. Our artists, our writers enrich the heritage of humanity. Now, I know that this is not exactly the image of Israel that is often portrayed in this hall. After all, it was here in 1975 that the age-old yearning of my people to restore our national life in our ancient biblical homeland, it was then that this was branded shamefully as racism. And it was here in 1980, right here, that the historic peace agreement between Israel and Egypt wasn't praised. It was denounced. And it's year after year, that Israel is unjustly singled out for condemnation. It's singled out for condemnation more often than all the nations of the world combined. 21 out of the 27 General Assembly resolutions condemn Israel, the one true democracy in the Middle East. This is an unfortunate part of the UN institution. It's the theater of the absurd. It doesn't only cast Israel as the villain. It often casts real villains in leading roles. Gaddafi's Libya, chair of the UN Commission on Human Rights. Saddam's Iraq, head of the UN Committee on Disarmament. You might say that's the past. Well, here's what's happening now, right now, today. Hezbollah-controlled Lebanon now presides over the UN Security Council. This means, in effect, that a terror organization presides over the body entrusted with guaranteeing the world's security. You couldn't make this thing up. So here...
All right, let's take a quick break. Benjamin Netanyahu steps in and tells it like it is. A man to be admired. A brave man who will stand in front of the UN and finally somebody tells him like it is. It's absurd. And he's going to call it absurd in just a couple of minutes. Because that's exactly what it is. Netanyahu's not kowtowing. He's not bootlicking. He's not ass-kissing. None of that. Benjamin Netanyahu has come out and called out the United Nations. Would Barack Obama do the same? Would our president do the same? Would Clinton do the same? Hey, I don't even know if my main man Ronald Reagan would do that. For Benjamin Netanyahu's coming out, hey, you know what? I support Israel. Yes, I do. But I'm not fanatical about Israel. But I tell you what, I'm becoming a fan a serious fan of Benjamin Netanyahu, and thus a fan of Israel. I mean, it is so, after what we are have experienced for nearly 4 years, three years of president, of having a wimpy, candy-ass president in the White House, Benjamin Netanyahu is a breath of fresh air. He is a breath of fresh air, and I'm digging it. I'm loving it. Thank you, Benjamin. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Good morning. January 20th, 2017, the last day of Barack Obama's 8 years as president. 8 tough years for many as unemployment continues climbing.
With debt to China reaching record levels, some analysts believe the Chinese have overtaken the United States.
8 years ago, we were promised hope. Today, many believe their American dream has been lost.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I'm Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
I remember America. Sure, you can still find it on a map, but nobody older than 20 thinks this is America. Even if coordinates are the same, we've lost our compass. You don't have a direction without reference, the true north. America, it was liberty. When we lost the love of liberty, our understanding of liberty, it was just a matter of time before the rest of it was lost. Some think it started when the auto companies were nationalized, or the police state to control the internet, or when certain companies couldn't fail because their relationship with politicians made them too big to fail, and the rest of us, without political influence, were too small to succeed. Sure, that all happened pretty quickly, over just a couple of years, but liberty had been gradually devolving for decades. Some of the more astute, like Ayn Rand, saw it about 50 years before others. She warned us, but people didn't believe it could happen here until it did. Laws had been used to loot productive individuals and businesses, but in the new millennium, under Bush and Obama, graft, corruption, crony capitalism were no longer hidden behind closed doors. The looters and their laws came out of hiding like rabid animals that were no longer afraid of humans. It was brought into the spotlight, and it was celebrated as enlightened economic policy. Ayn Rand asked the question Atlas Shrugged that the rest of us were asking 60 years later. Which failing financial institution will the administration pluck from the flames of crisis, and which will it let roast? Which market or investment technique will the regulators bless, and which, in a capricious change of rules, will it condemn or outlaw? As John Galt said in his radio address,
you decided you had a right to your wages, but we had no right to our profits. You called it selfish and cruel that men should trade value for value, but you've now established an unselfish society where they trade extortion for extortion.
People who had never produced or managed anything tried to manage every aspect of our lives, and they brought production to a standstill. And eventually, they decided to micromanage the food supply in the name of fairness and safety. And we all know what happened then. Fiction can be a powerful influence, for good or bad. It's too bad more people didn't read Atlas Shrugged. They might have realized where this was heading.
And we are back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. When we left off, Benjamin Netanyahu was laying it down to the United Nations, a bunch of hypocrites and law-breaking, heathen, bunch of nothing asses. Yeah, those guys. So let's go back to what Benjamin Netanyahu said and how he put it out there, and ask yourselves, is this a guy? Is this the change you can believe in? Because this change I can believe in. I dig it. I'm digging it all. I'm loving it all. Benjamin Netanyahu tells the UN just like it is. He's telling the UN General Assembly, Palestinians want a state without peace, and that Israel has extended his hand in peace many times from the moment it was established. And that is the truth. There's no disputing it. So let's go back to Benjamin and let him finish this off. Because it's good. It's high drama, high theater, good stuff. And on top of all of that, it's the truth. Here we go.
In the UN, automatic majorities can decide anything. They can decide that the sun sets in the west or rises in the west. I think the first has already been preordained. They can also decide, they have decided, that the Western Wall in Jerusalem, Judaism's holiest place, is occupied Palestinian territory. And yet, even here, in the General Assembly, the truth can sometimes break through. In 1984, when I was appointed Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, I visited the great rabbi of Lubavitch. He said to me, and ladies and gentlemen, I don't want any of you to be offended, because from personal experience of serving here, I know there are many honorable men and women, many capable and decent people serving their nations here. But here's what the Rebbe said to me. He said to me, you'll be serving in a house of many lives. And then he said, remember that even in the darkest place, the light of a single candle can be seen far and wide. Today I hope that the light of truth will shine, if only for a few minutes, in a hall that for too long has been a place of darkness for my country. So as Israel's prime minister, I didn't come here to win applause. I came here to speak the truth. The truth is, the truth is that Israel wants peace. The truth is that I want peace. The truth is that in the Middle East, at all times, but especially during these turbulent days, peace must be anchored in security. The truth is that we cannot achieve peace through UN resolutions, but only through direct negotiations between the parties. The truth is that so far the Palestinians have refused to negotiate. The truth is that Israel wants peace with the Palestinian state, but the Palestinians want a state without peace. And the truth is, you shouldn't let that happen. Ladies and gentlemen, when I first came here 27 years ago, the world was divided between East and West. Since then, the Cold War ended. Great civilizations have risen from centuries of slumber. Hundreds of millions have been lifted out of poverty. Countless more are poised to follow. And the remarkable thing is that so far, this monumental historic shift has largely occurred peacefully. Yet a malignancy is now growing between East and West that threatens the peace of all. It seeks not to liberate, but to enslave. Not to build, but to destroy. That malignancy is militant Islam. It cloaks itself in the mantle of a great faith, yet it murders Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike with unforgiving impartiality. On September 11th, it killed thousands of Americans, and it left the Twin Towers in smoldering ruins. Last night, I laid a wreath on the 9/11 memorial. It was deeply moving. But as I was going there, one thing echoed in my mind. The outrageous words of the president of Iran on this podium yesterday. He implied that 9/11 was an American conspiracy. Some of you left this hall. All of you should have. Since 9/11, militant Islam has slaughtered countless other innocents in London, in Madrid, in Baghdad, in Mumbai, in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, in every part of Israel. I believe that the greatest danger facing our world is that this fanaticism will arm itself with nuclear weapons. And this is precisely what Iran is trying to do. Can you imagine that man who ranted here yesterday? Can you imagine him armed with nuclear weapons? The international community must stop Iran.
All right, let's hold it right there. Benjamin Netanyahu said, can you imagine a man who ranted and raved yesterday about 9/11 being some sort of a conspiracy, man-made conspiracy by the United States of America? Possessing nuclear weapons, a man whose country wants to see Israel destroyed, and as well the United States of America. Benjamin Netanyahu is finally putting it out there for all to see and hear and taste. Benjamin Netanyahu deserves our respect. Israel deserves our loyalty. Finally, we have a head of state who will stand up to the UN and stand up and say, hey, this is what you guys are really all about, and it stinks. You guys suck the sweat off a dead man's balls. You guys are horrible. Eat a bag of shit. You guys are terrible. All of you should have gotten up and left. That's exactly right. Now, I don't know exactly how many people got up and left when that moron from Iran stood up and said all that stupid, spewed all that hate-filled stupidity. I wonder who stayed. I wonder if Barack Hussein Obama was in the room. I wonder who stayed to listen to that clown go on and on and on. While here we are with Benjamin Netanyahu putting it out there. No, does he have a teleprompter he's reading from? Not at all. Does he look down at notes from time to time? Yes, he does. But he looks directly at his audience, which is the UN General Assembly and you and me. The guy is putting it out there, folks. You can do nothing but respect Benjamin Netanyahu right now. Because, yes, freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is what we have here with Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu is throwing it out there. Freedom of speech. We got to love it. So let's finish off with some more freedom of speech from our man Benjamin Netanyahu. Love this guy. Love him.
Stop Iran before it's too late. If Iran is not stopped, we will all face the specter of nuclear terrorism. And the Arab Spring could soon become an Iranian winter. That would be a tragedy. Millions of Arabs have taken to the streets to replace tyranny with liberty. And no one would benefit more than Israel if those committed to freedom and peace would prevail. This is my fervent hope. But as the Prime Minister of Israel, I cannot risk the future of the Jewish state on wishful thinking. Leaders must see reality as it is, not as it ought to be. We must do our best to shape the future, but we cannot wish away the dangers of the present. And the world around Israel is definitely becoming more dangerous. Militant Islam has already taken over Lebanon and Gaza. It's determined to tear apart the peace treaties between Israel and Egypt, between Israel and Jordan. It's poisoned many Arab minds against Jews in Israel, against America and the West. It opposes not the policies of Israel, but the existence of Israel. Now, some argue that the spread of militant Islam, especially in these turbulent times, if you want to slow it down, they argue, Israel must hurry to make concessions. Make territorial compromises. And this theory sounds simple. Basically, it goes like this. Leave the territory and peace will be advanced. The moderates will be strengthened. The radicals will be kept at bay. And don't worry about the pesky details of how Israel will actually defend itself. International troops will do the job. These people say to me constantly, just make a sweeping offer and everything will work out. You know, there's only one problem with that theory. We've tried it. And it hasn't worked.
All right. Benjamin Netanyahu is exactly right. It's been tried. Israel has bent over backwards to appease its enemies, bent over backwards to prevent war with people who would see them not exist, drive them into the sea, destroy Israel, kill its people, women, children, all. And we've got Taj, I think it's Taj in the room, saying that, hey, only you who want U.S. to go to war over false intelligence. I'm not sure what that means exactly. Taj says that Taj fights for America. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. But Benjamin Netanyahu is the man of the hour tonight. And, you know, I plan to do a completely different show tonight, but I decided that this topic deserves all 1 hour of the show. Because Benjamin Netanyahu has finally come before the UN General Assembly as a man who is putting it out there. Don't you wish that Barack Hussein Obama, our president, could come out as forcefully for his country, our country, the United States of America, instead of going around apologizing and bowing and scraping every chance he gets, ass-kissing? He worked so hard to be the anti-Bush that he just turned himself into a candy-ass pansy. And yeah, I'm not really all that in for the name-calling, but hey, if the shoe fits, put it on and walk around in it. Right now, it's all about Benjamin Netanyahu. He has put it out there. He's doing the damn thing, and I am so very proud of him. We have a caller on the line, 765. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Hey, this is
Hey, you're on.
Taj. Hey, this is Taj. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you guys essentially, but I kind of I want Israel to fight, and I want them to defend themselves, but I have a problem with us funding their enemies. What do you say about that?
Who's our enemy?
Well, we're giving money to Saudi Arabia, to Jordan, to Egypt. We are actively involved in Libya. I think these countries are enemies of Israel, and I think that Israel should have it right, and they should exist, and that the idea that our government is giving, you know, these Arab nations money, can we agree to stop giving them money?
Oh, I agree. I agree that,
right,
that we shouldn't be funding these countries that don't want to see Israel exist. Indeed,
right,
we shouldn't be funding countries that want the United States to cease to exist.
Right.
We
against Israel. They're openly against our interests. They're openly against Israel. So I can't understand how we can defend Obama or Bush or any other president who gives money, okay, to these nations. I can't understand how, you know, we go to, you know, Egypt and that we're fighting this, you know, supposed freedom fight or whatever we're doing in Egypt. I mean, come on.
Well, Egypt
I think
made,
what we're doing right now
Egypt.
Is that we are hurting Israel. We're hurting them. And you know, you can say that, you know, we're, well, you know, if I support Ron Paul, I'm against that. But it's just like, I support not giving Egypt money. I support not, you know, giving any of Israel's enemies money. And I think the first thing that we can do is to not give them money and to not provide, you know, modern planes, modern, you know, air bases, all these things that we do. We're on both sides of the fence, right?
Well, you're right. We're playing one hand against the other. I don't know anybody in the State Department or within any administration official that could explain to me why we're funding all of these countries and supporting all these countries with our hard-earned money, money we don't have. It's something that I think we all should be involved in, though. And clearly I'm not. I don't know why we support countries like Libya, which I'm not sure we give them money at all. they've got more money than they could ever spend over there, given the oil production.
We helped them fight a revolution, didn't we not?
Yeah, but we don't fund them.
We don't fund them.
We don't give them money. We're helping them fight a revolution for what seems to be, on the face of it, a noble effort to get rid of Gaddafi, and with the hopes of establishing a democratic state versus a totalitarian dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it's a good effort, and I support that. However, I do not support countries, and I don't think the United States should be in the habit of supporting countries financially or otherwise or any other way that has advocated seeing Israel, the destruction of Israel, or the United States of America. And I know that we do.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we do support countries that are not friendly to us. And there are those congressmen and senators who are working tirelessly to see that we stop that practice. So there are people who, there are officials in this country, within our government, who believe this is just as absurd as you and I do. The practice of supporting governments that are that wish us harm.
We have not got very far from 9/11 as far as what we're doing, as far as who we're giving money to. And I think, Libya is a classic example. I support Republicans who come out and, come against it. but, we still have McCain.
Well, what I'd like to do is at some future date, either me or Stay Mad or one of the other blog talk show hosts host a show laying out every country that America supports financially or with military arms or with military support or any support at all that is harmful to our country. Just a complete list. And what it is that we are providing them. And I think mm-hmm. that information is readily available.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller on the line, so just stay right there. We're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Dave, you're on with me and 765.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, life is good. Glad
good.
To be here.
Yeah, me too. Glad to be alive, above ground.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw what Taj was writing in the chat room, and it just kind of sounded like he was going towards the false intelligence and don't want to go to war with take America to war for a few acres of land. I mean, I just wanted to ask about that.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on with that, going to war for a few acres of land. Nobody's going to war just yet. Israel has been threatened since its existence, and so far they've been able to hold their own against all comers. They have mm-hmm. not lost a fight yet. They haven't lost a battle yet. So the idea of us having to go to war to protect Israel, it seems to me that they don't really need us right now. They can do their own thing. They held off three countries simultaneously in the last war they fought,
mm-hmm.
and stomped them into the ground.
Yeah, so I don't understand how anybody, including a libertarian, would not support Israel if three countries declared war on them and they invaded Israel. I think everybody in America would support Israel and fighting that war and giving them troops and money and things like that. But right now we're talking about minute diplomatic relationships and political differences, that are very in tone with the region. you know, and I think I want the best for everybody, and I want them to have good relations with their neighbors, you know, and if Palestine, if they want a state, why can't Israel and the world negotiate, you know, them to have some small little piece of, you know, what we recognize as Israel?
Are you kidding?
Well, okay, let them have a little piece, right?
No,
let
they have had the whole thing. State. They got to have the whole thing. And what
no,
they do?
Don't
they,
let
they,
them have it, though. That's, we don't want them to have. I'm not talking about the 47 borders. I'm talking about let them have just some piece
what,
of land that they
letting
can
them
call
have recognition?
State?
You want them to have recognition? So they get emboldened, and then they get people behind them. Look, the whole
so
UN.
What do you want then?
Look. The whole UN is pretty much against the United States. I don't even know why we're in it. Okay. So whatever happens, okay, it's going to turn out that it's Israel's fault. Excuse me, it's Israel's fault, and we're going to get you know if it comes to blows, we have to side with Israel.
Right.
But it all starts with an emboldened bunch of Palestinians that all they want is to get one step closer to pushing Israel into the sea.
Okay,
you see,
so what is
the
solution?
Because
then?
Here's the
What's
thing.
Your solution?
Let me interject here. The thing is, you could Israel could give concession after concession after concession.
And they
it's
have.
Not really about that.
Exactly.
The Palestinians and the radical Islamic factions want to see Israel destroyed, completely
okay.
gone. They don't want.
That.
Oh well. So by giving them, it's like okay, you're in high school. No. You're in grammar school, middle school, and you've got a bully, and he wants to whoop you every single day. But he's not going to beat you up as long as you give him your lunch money and maybe the shoes off your feet. Well, he's going to keep coming back to get more and more and more because it's really not about getting the things that you have. It's about him being a bully. He's
okay.
doing it because he can.
Okay. So, okay, if that's your opinion, then why can't we clearly state that there is no Palestinian statehood, that the Israel borders go, you know, all the way to Jordan, they go all the way to Saudi Arabia, to Egypt, and the whole kind of old school, that is Israel.
Well,
let me agree to that then, if we don't have a phony, kind of a fake Palestinian state, and these, you know, these million Palestinians get to, you know, have their little state, let's just say, you know, there's no state. And this is the state of Israel, and let's go to the borders that we all kind of, you know, understand through the Bible and understand that, you know, that's what they're entitled to. Let's just go to those borders, and let's kind of have, an argument about that is where we're setting up. And let's not have this argument about, oh, settlements and things like that. Let's get real. Let's go to where we want Israel to be, and let's say that to where what you know where the borders are. So let's do it.
So
about
the Benjamin Netanyahu put it out there in front of the UN General Assembly this week. I mean, he put it out clearly. These countries, these factions, they want to see Israel wiped off the map, completely destroyed.
No. See, he does not want to challenge, and he does not want to say where he would like Israel borders to be. Let's be honest. Let's say I want the Israel borders to be, the traditional Israel borders. Let's quit, messing around.
Why do you have to say anything? They already are.
No, not beyond. We're not talking about tiny settlements. Let's talk about the real borders. Let's go way beyond the Palestinian state, and let's say that, you know what, Palestinians, you have no state. You know, this is Israel. So either you like it or you don't. let's have some bold kind of prediction, you know, some bold leadership out of Israel. But I think everybody is kind of placating to this idea that, oh, well, we want a Palestinian state, or, oh, we don't want to piss off the Israelis, we don't want to piss off the, you know, the Palestinians. Come on, let's get real. Let's let the Israelis annex the whole territory, you know, up to Jordan, up to Syria, you know, all the way down to Egypt, and let's say, you know what, the Palestinians who live in the West Bank and the Gaza, let's just, you know, harmonize you guys. Let's bring you guys in, and, you know, let's create you guys within our own country, and let's be one. No two states. Let's be one state and include the whole area. Or is that not politically feasible?
I don't...
I'm not following.
I don't think
exactly.
It is. No. I follow what he's saying. It's kind of oblique, but I understand what he's saying. I don't think it makes much difference. Still, I don't think that, because if no matter how you expand Israel's borders or contract them, it won't be enough for the likes of Iran, Palestinians, Jordan, even in some other countries. They don't want to see Israel exist at all.
Well,
none.
I mean, you can keep saying that. You can keep saying that that Ahmadinejad says that he does not want Israel to exist.
But it's not just Ahmadinejad. It's just not Ahmadinejad.
Kind of
everybody over there. It's not just him, my man. I mean, this
everybody
has been going on
there.
For the last.
It's written
this
into
has been
the
going
Quran.
On for the last 60 years.
No,
okay.
More than that. It's written
Let
into the Quran.
I mean,
Let
no,
say
no,
it.
The Palestinians.
What are they going
to
do?
Hamas does. They don't want to see Israel exist. Hell, there are factions in Saudi Arabia that doesn't want. Hell, nearly every Muslim in every Muslim country doesn't want to see Israel exist.
Right.
They want to destroy Israel. These are not my opinions.
So
this is history.
Should we not fund Saudi Arabia? Let's get rid of their funding.
We don't fund Saudi Arabia. I can tell you that for a fact.
No, all we do is buy their gas, and they take care of the rest. But
yeah.
If we could buy our own gas, we could defund as far as whatever we're contributing to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, we don't fund them.
We don't fund them? Okay,
no.
So you have a definition of fund.
Well, fund means to give money to, fund.
In exchange for oil. In exchange for oil, correct?
We don't give them anything in exchange for oil. We sell them stuff. They buy stuff from
us. We give them dollars.
We buy stuff.
We give them dollars in exchange for oil.
Or, okay, so we're buying something. That's not funding anybody.
Well, that money goes to the Saudi kings, correct?
Yeah, but we're getting a service, a good.
Do you trust the Saudi kings? I don't trust them.
Good luck, Doc.
It's not a matter of trust. It's a matter of purchasing.
I gotta go, my friend.
All right. Thanks for stopping in. Stay mad.
All right.
I'll into you and Tesla's show shortly.
All right. Thanks. See ya.
All right. Funding another country is different. For example, we fund a variety of countries in order to keep them on our good side.
And you don't think Saudi Arabia is one of them?
No, I don't.
Okay.
We don't supply them with military hardware.
If we do not buy other oil.
When you buy something, when you buy a product from another person, let's break it down to my company. My company, the company that I own, Golden Jones Universal Media. If you buy something from me and I give you the product and you give me money, does that mean you're funding me?
Yes, indirectly,
okay.
Yes. Because,
all right, but you get something out of it, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, okay, if you look at it in terms of that type of funding, then yes. And what's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with that is that we are funding Saudi Arabia.
In exchange for oil purchases,
correct? That Saudi Arabia is not a democracy, right? They the Saudi kings and monarchy, they own the oil fields, and they we have nice deals with them, which is nice. You understand that that helps lower the oil prices that come into the United States, but you understand that the people in Saudi Arabia don't necessarily like that, right? And so we have a little bit of a conflict. We have a small conflict between the monarchy ruling system, who gives us oil at a good rate, you know, through OPEC, correct? I mean, it's not like Saudi Arabia is on its own. It's through OPEC, right? And we have a good relationship right now with OPEC.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I'm sorry to have to cut you off.
We've got 2 minutes and 15 seconds left. I would love to continue this with you next week. Monday through Friday we're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. We'll bring it up again Monday. And I promise you, if you hear on Monday's show, I'll have a list of all of the countries that the United States of America funds via food, goods like that, military arms, and actual cash.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
What would have happened in
and we'll get into
or
that then. Until then, wow, it's been a great week. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. God bless you. God bless America. Republican Marine, Ned King, Blog Talk, Beach Bomb, Alexander Solo, Sarge was in. Oh, man. A lot of folks were in tonight. And a lot of folks, yes. Like Jake, Bribe. Every night. God bless you. God bless you, Chris.
If you walk with Jesus, He's going to save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. Keep the devil down.